Hallelujah. Well, the first scripture I have this morning is in Numbers chapter 6. How many know that scripture? Numbers chapter 6. Amen. Well, it's very popular, actually, because many do that, but... And verse 24, and 25 and 26. And here in Numbers, he talks about the blessing of the Lord unto the people. And it is a priestly blessing, but how many know we're priests and kings to God? Amen? And we're going to bless them, and I want to pray for them. Good prayers to pray, Ephesians chapter 3, 14. Right, through 21. Other passages, Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 23. Another good passage there is Philippians chapter 1, 9, 10, 11, and Colossians chapter 1, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And those are good passages to pray for people because they talk about the love of God, receiving the love of God, knowing the fullness of God's love, being filled with His Holy Spirit, gaining revelation and understanding, walking in what? The revelation of the greater one that's on the inside of us. And we can always be praying those prayers for them. And but I want to just invoke this blessing and pray a prayer for them, for their marriage. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Tyler and Larissa, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And it is our prayer, Lord, that Your love and Your laughter, Father, will fill their hearts and their home all the days of their life. May Your face, may you face every challenge hand in hand and side by side, knowing that with God's grace, You will conquer all obstacles together. May the world be forever a better place because the two of You have fallen in love and You've chosen to walk in the love of God. And we pray, Father, that they will know that love. The depth, the height, the breadth, the length of that love. That they will be filled with all the fullness of God, Lord. That they will be filled up to overflowing. And in their home and in their marriage, Your love shall be displayed. And it shall be a testimony to many around. In the mighty name of Jesus, we decree and declare it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Marriage is a joyful time. Amen. Time to rejoice with the Lord and to put Him, you know, rejoice with them and with the Lord. I mean, you know, God knew under the Old Testament many times they had days where they would just praise the Lord. They would just begin to worship God. And they would have times where they brought their offerings and they spent the whole day ministering to the Lord, rejoicing, having a feast, having a great time. And so I encourage you and I ask you to remember them. Of course, Saturday, they'll be getting married in Tulsa and they'll be blessed. God's taking care of every detail. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if they, as they come to your mind, and even if they don't, write their name down and keep them in prayer as they make this journey together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give You glory, Father. Now, let's turn to Matthew 6:33, and I want to talk a little bit about the offering today, just that we are to, first of all, He said, now, you said, well, why are you talking about that when it comes to offering? Because that's what the Lord said. He said, if we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things that the Gentiles are seeking, right? All that the world seeks after, they'll be added to you. And we're not supposed to worry or fret or have anxiety about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, or what we're going to put on. But we can seek first the kingdom of God Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. This is such a good passage. I mean, we've taught about a large part of this chapter. But he says in verse 25, I just want to read 25 through 33 here. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink. Come on, Douglas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, as your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We have no need to worry. We don't have to fear. We can look at the, God gave us a few pictures, didn't he? He said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Look how beautiful they are. Look how your Father cares for the birds. Not one of them falls to the ground without him knowing. He knows what we have need of. Nevertheless, he said to ask. And when we ask, we can be sure that he's going to take care of us as long as we're seeking first his kingdom and his way of doing things. Praise God. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I think it's beautiful to me. I mean, we don't, you know, a lot of times we say, well, and it's easy to preach, don't worry. But see, worry is one thing that can make us devourable by the enemy. You know, Jesus said, or Peter said back in, you know, over in 1 Peter 5, we humble ourselves before the Lord. We cast our care on him, on the Lord, and he will care for us. It's the same principle here. When we seek first, when we humble our heart, when we seek first the kingdom, we can trust God to take care of every need that we have, and we don't have to be afraid of anything. We can walk in his wisdom. We can walk in his grace. Because it is the care that can, you know, that allows the enemy to devour us sometimes when we allow care to stay or worry to stay in our heart. So we can trust the Lord when we seek him first. You know, the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives more grace the humble. And by seeking first the kingdom, we humble our heart, don't we? We have to humble ourselves. Say, Lord, I need you. I humble myself under your mighty hand. And I cast my care upon you. I know that you're going to cause every need to be met. Whatever it is that we have. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many love the Lord today? Amen. Praise the Lord. We love him. He first loved us and he wants to care for us. But we have one place that we can go, and that's to him, to his throne room of grace. We can stay seeking him, keep ourselves on our face before the Lord, saying, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Your kingdom come. It is his desire to give us the kingdom. He already promised us the kingdom. And it is his desire that we walk with him and know him. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a joy. Hallelujah. So once again, if you want to give, you can give online at familyprayercenter.com. And just follow the prompts. It's very simple, very easy. Give with a check card, a bank card, You know, it's just for your convenience. Please don't go into any debts to give to us. There's already a disclaimer on there about that. And we really don't want that to happen. So, all right, praise the Lord. Okay, who knows what we've been talking about here the last several weeks. We've been talking about our new nature and following that inner witness on the inside. Amen. Letting our spirit man continue to grow. Why? Because many men, even many Christians, as a lot of you have found out and have known, how many know it's easy to let the flesh have its way? Sometimes that's the easy way, isn't it? It's easy because that's the way the world goes round. But you and I, we are locating something. It's called our human spirit, the part of us that's been made alive. We were set free from sin, and we'll get to that in a minute. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you." Or the word sanctify simply means set apart. When I was a teenager, I went to a particular church that they taught about being sanctified. And I really, appreciate them and so forth. They talked about the Holy Spirit, but they said you can be sanctified holy, and that's where you lose your desire to sin. And I just had a real problem. I couldn't quite grasp it from the scriptures they were giving me. You know, it says your whole, I would study it, and I began to study on the word sanctified, and it just simply really means set apart to be holy, or set apart to the Lord, you know, unto God for holiness. And I thought that happened when I got born again. And so I began to think, I thought, well, maybe when these people are getting what they call sanctified, you know, you would live for God and pray at the altar and come to that place of sanctification. And they said, well, then you don't sin anymore. You just make mistakes, you know. That's kind of funny how things happen, but I just had kind of a little problem, and I couldn't figure that out. I thought, well, maybe they're just getting saved when they get sanctified, because I didn't want to sin anymore after I got saved. I didn't want to. I mean, there were times that I did, but I didn't want to. And I lost my want to. Amen. How many of you lost your want to when you gave your heart to Jesus? You didn't want to go out to the bars drinking. You didn't want to go do things that you've done before. I never went to the bars drinking. I was 9 years old. I'd never been to the bar. But I'd realized, you know, I struggled in my heart because the law had come to me about sin. And I was struggling in myself. I thought, well, if God knows what I'm going to say before I say it, why doesn't he stop me from saying that dirty word so my mother doesn't wash my mouth out with soap? Because if my mother finds out, I'll be in trouble. And maybe my sister might even tell on me, see? But I might get angry at her or somebody and use a dirty word for some reason. And I thought, well, God already knows what I'm going to say before I say it. They told me that in Sunday school. So why is that? And it was my inward man. It was the spirit man of me was not yet alive to God. I had the law there and I died. I was dead spiritually to God. I was not alive to him, but I received Jesus as my Savior. And he came into my heart. By the time I was 10 years old, it was in March sometime, and I understood. I really think I did that before that, but I really understood that, hey, I became a new person. God changed me. I became a new creation, and I learned that verse and memorized it. And I didn't understand the fullness of it, but somehow in my heart it registered in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit was bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of God, and I knew I was born again. I knew I was saved. I had no question about it. And so, but here he's talking about sanctifying you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we said with our spirit, see, this talks about three parts of our being, our whole person, he said, needs to be what? Set apart to God, be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will help us. He'll help us do that, won't he? And so our spirit is the part of us that gets born again. That's the part of us that becomes, and we actually are born of the Spirit. We saw that over in John chapter 3, where what? When we pass through, we're born of water, but we're also born of the Spirit. In other words, in that passage, it says, God, we are actually born from above. God becomes the Father of our reborn spirit. Our spirit then should take the ascendancy in our life. Many times people are more body conscious or mind conscious, soul conscious than we are spirit conscious. But we know that we know that there are ways to locate, and we've been talking about deciding and understanding what is the difference between our soul and our body and our spirit. Now, our spirit, of course, we said, hey, that's born again. That's where we contact God. And then with our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, we contact one another, don't we? We contact this earthly realm in our body. A physical body keeps us here. It's kind of going along for the ride. God said we have to consider our body, what? Dead. But it's part of us. It's part of the journey that we take. But the part of us that we're to live out of and that God really communicates to us is in our spirit. It is the part of us that we have been freed from. And really, the only people that are truly free are born-again Christians. Because we're not bound by sin. We get to choose. How many know? Whoever you yield your members to, just like we talked about this morning, we can yield our members to God. We can seek first the kingdom. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. And verse 6 says this. It says, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says this. It says, For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with or destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And so this is something he says here in verse 6. He said, knowing this, do you know this? Many people in the church don't know this. Now I know many of you do know it. We have talked about it here. But I want us to understand the old man, he's talking about your spirit man. The part that was bound to sin was crucified with him. We died under the penalty of sin in Christ. And everybody says, well, how did we do that? Because when he died, the Bible says we were in Christ. He took our place. He is our substitute for the penalty of sin, which was death or eternal separation from God. Eternal death is what he's really talking about. Now he has redeemed us as saved people. We are free from sickness and disease. We are redeemed from that until we gain a glorified body one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can walk in health as well. But really he's talking here. He's saying that old man was crucified. That sinful nature, that desire to sin, was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, or we could say that it was rendered inoperative. It is totally gone. It was taken out of your spirit and you were made a new creation. In other words, we actually are changed on the inside from darkness to light, and we become a species of being that hadn't existed really before. Hallelujah. We are new in Christ. Our old man, that old sin nature passed with when Jesus died, you died in him. That we no longer We are no longer slaves of sin. Oh, hallelujah. How many are thankful for that? You don't have to sin, in other words. We don't have to give in to the flesh. We don't have to do what's wrong. We can renew our mind with the truth. Hallelujah. And we can live with Him, freed from sin. Verse 7 says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also what? Live with Him. In other words, you and I, the entrance, really, into the Christian faith is to believe in resurrection power. Do you understand? You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, those Christians today, they would say, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, but this person couldn't. But how many believe in resurrection power? You believe God can even raise the dead. And He did raise the dead in you and I. In our spiritual man, we've been raised from death to life. We had to be changed. If we weren't changed, then we're not born again. But we have been. We died with Him. Jesus did become our substitute. We were buried with Him unto death. And as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also now walk in that newness of life. That life that's on the inside of us. That's where our spirit man really begins. And we know that as we pray in the Holy Spirit, here we teach that, what we begin to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it helps us locate. One thing that happens, it helps us locate and understand where our spirit man is and where God is communicating to us. It begins to wake up something called our conscience on the inside. And we begin to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to our spirit. Our spirit begins to live. And then on the inside of us, we know what's right and wrong. And we said, hey, we can be guided by that conscience on the inside if you've been born again. Because we can now trust that conscience on the inside. That inner witness. That sense knowing what's right. Knowing what is wrong. Oh, Father. Oh, I should do that. I shouldn't do that. There is a witness on the inside, and it is as supernatural as any other way that God communicates to you. This is not walking in the natural, it's walking in the Spirit. And when we begin and continue in the Spirit, we begin to sense God leading us. He said, I will lead you and I will guide you into all truth. The truth of who God is in you will begin to become a reality more and more as we allow Him to lead us and to guide us. Verse 14 of Romans 6 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but you're now under grace." Oh, how many are thankful for the grace of God? We were saved, what? By grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it was the gift of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, What then shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Don't you know that those who present yourselves slaves to obey? Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave. You're the slave to the one you present yourself to, whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Delivered from sin. Delivered from the control of sin. Delivered from the power of sin. We no longer have to walk after the sin, and we don't have to give ourselves over to unrighteousness, but we have righteousness of Jesus living on the inside of us. How many know? Hallelujah. Verse 18 is the next one. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now on the inside of you, being born again in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4 says, that we now, what? We can now trust that. That will work in us to push out all unrighteousness. and we're no longer bound to that sin nature and that power of sin. Now let's look over here again. Let's turn to the next chapter here, a few verses over. Now, I mean, all of Romans is awesome. I mean, this is a wonderful doctrinal book. It's a little different that Paul writes when Paul writes the book of Romans. It's a little bit different than it is when he writes like some of the churches that he started, like 1 Corinthians and so forth. You see Paul's heart for those people. But here, it's more of a doctrinal book, more of a teaching. And Paul is saying, hey, he didn't start the church in Rome, but he is giving them the truth. And he's saying, here is the gospel of God. Here's the truth of who you really are. Here is what happened to you when you were born again. Your spirit was changed. Your soul is being renewed. It could be renewed by the word of God. You know, later into Romans 12, we know that we are transformed, what, by the renewing of the mind. How many know it's important to get the word of God into our heart and into our mind and let our mind begin to meditate on it? Our meditator begins to go forward and the Holy Spirit brings that truth, and there is a powerful transformation on the inside of us because we begin to discern the difference. What is our spirit? What is of the mind, or the natural mind anyway? And what is of the body? We can see the difference. The Bible says the word of God is that discerner. It works on the inside of us, and we begin to discern the thoughts and the intents even of our own heart. The word of God does that with us. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is the great helper in that. It's important for us to realize we are truly free. If we don't believe we're free from sin, then how are you going to walk free of it? The Bible says we can. The Bible says we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we could go on this whole chapter, but I want to go over to Romans 7. Let's read verse 5 and 6. It says here, and we'll get down a little farther, but for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death, or unto death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, or of the letter of the law. Oh my goodness, there is no salvation by the law. How many know you can't be good enough to get saved? You had to have a substitute. Jesus had to pay the price. He was the one that was righteous. He was the one that came. God couldn't find a man. God couldn't find any man that was sin free. So he had to come from the outside in and bring his son legally through a woman into the earth. Born of God, that had a nature alive to him so that we would have the right substitute. It had to be a man for man. We had to have someone. There had to be, because we're of a lost race. We were no longer alive to God, and we could not get back to God without Jesus. And really, I mean, under the old covenant, they walked with God, but they were not really born again. They were saved through the coming, believing in the coming Messiah. Yes, there's a Messiah coming who's going to free us completely. And all along the way, we know that there were types and shadows with the Lamb that was supposed to be perfect and unblemished, that they had to bring year after year to the temple. And their sins were covered, but they were never washed away. They went away and they still had consciousness of sin. But how many are glad? You and I, we are free. Hallelujah. We're not bound by that law. But there was a law at work in you. The law of sin and death. It worked in us. But we're now free of that. And verse 7 says, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Now here Paul is saying, I didn't know the difference. When the law came, I realized I'm not supposed to covet, but I kept coveting. In other words, he's saying the sin took the opportunity by the commandment, produced sin in me. All manner of evil desire began to come forward. For apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, he said, when the commandment came, I realized I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. See, that was the whole point of God giving the law. They couldn't keep it. It was not going to be possible for them to fully keep it. Now, there were provisions under God's law, you know, where they could bring the sacrifice and their sin was covered and so forth. As long as they did those things, then yeah, they're okay. But they had to continually do that. They had to place their faith in that. And they had to believe there's a coming Messiah. They had to believe there's someone else that's going to come. And they thought it was going to be in a natural, physical way. But God said, I'm coming that the spirit of man would be changed forever. And I can have my home on the inside of you. And that change is what we need to remember. He said, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. He says, I thought we could live by the law. I thought the law could save us. That's what was, you know, this is what Paul's saying. I thought, well, there's got to be some life in that law. But all it did was bring the fact that I know that I'm dead. I need something else. I need a Savior. And sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, delivered me. And by it, it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Hallelujah. There was a problem, wasn't there? I mean, Paul was seeing it and he's saying here, I can't live right under the law. I can't fulfill it. I can't do what is right. And then, of course, we look a little bit further down. And if we look here in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. He's bound to sin. He was there. He says, I don't know. I mean, what is this? What am I doing? I don't get it. For what I want to do, I want to follow the law. I want to do what's right, but I can't. There's another law at work in me. Hallelujah. And it is the law of sin that works in my members in my body. Verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law at work in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, this is before he was born again. Paul's saying, I struggled. I was not yet born again. I didn't know God. I just knew him by law. I knew what he could do. And I of course we know Paul was one of the best law keepers around. He was the son of a Pharisee. His father was one of the professors at the school even. And you know, he was under Gamaliel, one of the greatest doctors of the law. And he knew the law inside and out. And he's saying, oh my goodness, but all the law did for me was brought me to a place where I realized I died. I am dead. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I was still in the law of sin. But now, hallelujah, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. We are freed from that. He said, there is therefore, verse 8, chapter 8, now no condemnation, no condemning sentence that can be carried out upon me who does not walk after or according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And if you've been born again, you're no longer walking. You're not going to walk according to that flesh because that fleshly, sinful nature died. And you received a new nature, the Spirit of Christ. The law, he said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from that law of sin and death. Oh, hallelujah. How many have been born again? How many are, thank you, you have a new spirit? How many know that you can walk after that spirit? That spirit now has life on the inside of it, You're free from sin. You no longer have to walk into it. You can choose to yield your members to righteousness, and you can walk free. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Isn't it good to know we don't have to be sin conscious all the time, worried about sinning if we'll just follow our heart? Our reborn spirit, our conscience on the inside will be a sure guide. Hallelujah. And of course, we have the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'm off my scriptures here, but that's okay. We're still talking about that new nature, that new man on the inside that we are connecting with. We are allowing Him to come to the ascendancy. We are allowing Him to be in control. Our spirit man, not our fleshly man, not our mind, our will, our emotion. How many know there can be torments in your mind sometimes? Anybody ever have those? The enemy comes to lie to us and try to tell you. And what is he trying to get you to believe? That you're not really free. But Jesus made you free. Hallelujah. He wants you to believe his lies. But God said the truth is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from that law of sin and death that worked in your members. You no longer have to walk that way. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You said, well, we've been knowing that and I understand that. But we all have to keep it conscious before us. We have to be aware that our spirit has been made new. We have to be aware and listen to and locate and continue to train our human spirit and allow it to gain control of our natural body and hold our fleshly mind's thoughts, the thoughts of our fleshly mind under control. Amen. How many know the mind, the fleshly mind, can take you places that you shouldn't go? It'll lead you right into sin. I mean, you say, well, how do you know that? Well, James 1. He said, it is the desires within us. And if we think on them, thoughts, you know, all sin starts with a thought. I'm not saying anybody out there is in terrible sin. You know, but even when when we're there, he says it starts with the thought. And so he says, let's see, what verse is that? 14. All right. Bless the man. Let's just start at 12. Blessed is the man, James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brother. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no shadow of turning. He doesn't vary. He doesn't change. There's no changing in him. There's no variation in him. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. And we're not bound to that, but this is how, he says, this is how temptation works. It comes and there's things that brings desires and thoughts. How many know you think on the wrong thing long enough, you'll start doing it. You know, what do they say in the world? The worldly, this isn't really scriptural, but it says, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. In other words, you can start thinking on the wrong thing because you're not keeping your mind occupied on the right thing. Jesus said we have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And so, that's what sin does. It comes to bring forth death. I mean, all sin brings forth some kind of death. It brings forth a death to our, you know, to our life and to our spirit. Now, you know, sometimes people say, well, that wasn't my spirit that did that. It's just my body. I got news for you. Your spirit and your soul and your body are still connected. If they're not, you're not here on the earth. Because once your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. to what the Bible calls death has happened to you in an earthly sense. We would call that death. I mean, we know that you just pass to heaven. We don't really die. We just go to the next place. We lay down this fleshly body. But as long as you have this body, then you know you're here on the earth. And the things we do in the flesh, you say, well, it doesn't really affect me that much. Well, I think I could probably hand you $1 million and that might affect you. You said, affect me? Yeah. It affects you in the flesh, but it also afflicts you in your heart and your spirit, because really all it does, it's going to magnify what's really in you, what you're really yielding to. Amen. It would magnify. If you're generous, you'll be more generous. If you're a giver, you'll be a greater giver. If you're loving, you'll be more loving, more kind. The kindness, it's going to magnify what's already in you. And that's why it's good. We need more Christians to have money. Amen. Anyway, that's a little commercial. That's good anyway. But for what the law could not do, verse 3 of Romans 8, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sin, of sinful flesh, on account of sin or because of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, glory to God. That there's a reason he did, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the reborn spirit of man. Now your Bible may have that capitalized, but here in the first 16 verses of Romans 8, it's really talking about your reborn spirit. It's not talking about the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God, of course, he is involved in you being recreated and coming to God. We understand that. The Bible says, you know, we're regenerated, you know, by the Holy Spirit. He generates our born-again spirit, our spirit. You know, our death, the spirit that was dead, he takes out that death and places life in there. Hallelujah. So on the inside of you, there's probably a big scar in there that the devil sees, because you have been, that old man was cut out, it was taken out, and you've received the life of God, the very nature of Jesus. You become one with God. He came and made his home in your body, in your spirit, on the inside of you. You came alive to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, you know, Jesus has his spirit and you have yours. But yours was made just like Jesus's, who was alive to God from the beginning. He was alive because he didn't have the DNA of Adam in him. He had the DNA of God. The Bible says God prepared what? A body for Jesus. But Jesus came because God had impregnated Mary. God said, I'm sending my son. I'm sending the sacrifice for all mankind. Now, I mean, the Bible says that Jesus didn't have to go through with it. He could have chosen not to do it, just like you can choose. There's a call of God on your life. And if you'll listen to your spirit, God will begin to guide you into it. If you'll listen to your heart and spend time praying in other tongues, getting the mind of God, listening to your spiritual man, listening to that inner witness, listening for his voice, speaking to you. You say, well, you know, I mean, have you ever had that? You're reading the Bible and a verse just comes alive to you. That's God speaking to you. He is illuminating his truth to you to make it personal in your heart, in your life. I mean, I remember I was 10 years old. That's the first time I had any scripture that really came alive in my heart. It was like, I'm not saying I had the full understanding, but I knew that I had been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things had passed away, all things became new. And I thought, oh, that's what happened in my heart. And I didn't have the great revelations that we have today, but for a 10-year-old, I think I was doing pretty good. That was a great verse for me. And I thought, wow, I understand now. I'm not the same. I was changed. Now, I didn't understand that I didn't have a sin nature. I didn't understand all those things that my nature was changed. But I knew God moved in. I knew God changed my heart, changed my desires. I didn't want to do what was wrong anymore. I wanted to follow that nature on the inside of me. The righteous requirement of the law was fulfilled. There had to be the death of mankind because we are of a fallen race. Man had to die because the wages of sin was death, or eternal separation from God and Jesus. He says, I'm sending my son. So what? Why? Why are you sending your... Because of sin. He's coming to condemn sin in the flesh. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. That the righteous requirement of the law, there had to be a righteousness come. There had to be the death of someone who could take the place of all mankind. And there was none on the earth, but he brought Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How many know? He was the one. He is the Word of God. God in the flesh became a man. Oh, glory. Now that blows your mind. You say, well, how could he be God and a man both? He was. He laid down his Godship. He laid down his godly authority and became the man. Became the creation. If you remember in John 1, Jesus was there at the beginning when man was created. You know, let's turn over there just for a minute because this is, man, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. I really am. I hope I'm not boring you there. I don't believe I am, but the greater one, he already lives in you. There's a reason that Jesus came. God says, I sent him because of sin. So that I could, what, condemn sin in the flesh. I can destroy that sin. I can condemn it forever. There's no condemnation, what, in Christ, but there is in the flesh. You know, if people aren't born again, they're already condemned. Man is on a, what, we are a fallen race, and man is on the road to hell, all mankind, until Jesus comes in. Then we're saved and on the road to heaven and on the road of righteousness. But here in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Oh, hallelujah. In him, in Jesus, in Christ, was life. In the Word, there's life, and the life was the light of men. And the light began to shine in the darkness. And at first it didn't comprehend or really didn't have that ability to really understand, to hold, to overcome sin. In other words, it says it didn't comprehend it, but another way to say that is they couldn't overcome it. They couldn't overcome sin. The light had to come. The darkness did not comprehend. In other words, it couldn't overcome it. It couldn't destroy sin in and of itself. How many know darkness can't cast out darkness? The light had to come. And Jesus is that light. And they, you know, the darkness couldn't really comprehend until that light came. There's the man sent from God. His name was John. And he came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Oh, he was not the light. John wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was coming, who is Christ. But he was there from the beginning. He was the one with God, creating man. He is sitting there. There's nothing that was made, not one single thing that was made, nothing was made that was made without him. He was there. All things are made through Jesus, through Christ. That means the sun, the moon, the stars, God the Creator himself. Hallelujah. He says, I'm going to send the Redeemer. I'm going to become a son myself. I'm going to become a human. It's very hard for us to really grasp. Can you imagine that? It's like, you know, God, I mean, we don't create things and become them. You know, we don't do that. We don't, you know, but God had created man. He said, I'm going to become man because I want to understand man. I want to know man. It was more than just that, but he said, I'm going to destroy sin so that I can know man. Sin is in my way and I don't have a man to destroy that sin nature. I don't have a man that can take the place of man. I have no righteous men on the earth. They have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, who was Jesus. There is none righteous. There was none left. They were all condemned because of the law, because of sin. And all man had partaken of it through Adam. And now we needed that Redeemer. And thank God that Jesus came. Amen. He was that light. He was the only born again person, the only light on the earth. There was no, think about that. If you were the only Christian on earth, could you imagine? You're the only one that really knows God. Whoo! Wow. It was an important assignment. But your assignment's important too. And you can walk in that assignment if we realize that our spirit's been made light. It's come around. It's the light or the development of men. When Jesus comes in, there's a light that's turned on the inside of us. We're no longer bound to sin. We can now begin to see the ways of God and begin to understand the Word of God and begin to walk with God. So that was the true light, verse 9, that which gives light to every man coming into the world. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world didn't really know him, but he came to his own and his own didn't even receive him, those that should have known who he was. But as many as that did receive him, how many have received Jesus now? He gave the right, hallelujah, to become children of God to those that believe in his name. He gave them that authority. He gave them that ability to become the son of a son of God, to be adopted into the family, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they're born of God. How many know? You see, in your natural, in the natural sense, you're born of the will of man in one way or another. You said, well, I didn't even want to be born. I understand. But your mother and father, whoever they were, even if you don't know who they were, they came together and you were born by their will or someone's will. Say, well, I'm a product of, I knew a guy and he was. His mother had been raped and he was a product of rape, but it was still the will of a man that wanted to rape a woman and he was born into the earth. We are born of the will of man in our natural flesh, but we're born of the will of God. See, by God, he comes. He says, I have chosen to come and make a way. When we believe on Christ, he says, he gives us that authority, that power, that ability to become his child, to be born again, to be made new in our spirit. And our spirit can now be trusted to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Yes, the Holy Spirit, he helps us in that. But our spirit's been born again and we're free. Hallelujah. Let's turn back over to Romans 8 for a minute. And look here. We're just looking at, where is that? That born again part of us that is alive to God is freed from sin. And that's important for us to understand and to walk in because it's going to lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit's in there. If you've been received the Holy Spirit and you pray in other tongues, if you don't, you can. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've been filled with the Spirit, but I've never prayed in tongues. Well, I'm letting you know you can. That happened to me. I received the Holy Spirit by faith. I believe he was in me. People would ask me, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, absolutely. I'd received him by faith, but I didn't know that I could pray in tongues yet. Don't ask me how that happened exactly. I mean, I had a few scriptures, but I thought some people prayed in tongues for a while and others didn't. But then I got to see the light. The light came and I repented and I asked God to forgive me. And that very night I spent 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours praying in other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. I had gotten a few words here and there, but I didn't know that I could pray in tongues anytime I wanted, but you can. Romans 8:14 says this. Now, that's Acts. I got to go to Romans, sorry. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How do you become a mature son of God? You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. There is not another path to maturity. You got to be led by your spirit, by the inner witness, by that person on your spirit man on the inside. The Holy Spirit communicates to you there. And through that spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. And so through your spirit, the life of God and the leadership of God begins to come forth. It really comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Now, occasionally you may, you know, I remember when I did get filled with the Spirit, I didn't realize that's what I needed. And I screamed out in a church service in a particular denomination. And it was during the offering time. If anybody knows about the offering time, it's very quiet in this church, particular church. And maybe they're playing a piece on the piano, and that's about all. They're playing some music, some offering taping up music, you know. And they're playing that, and I'm just there seeking God. But in my spirit, I heard it had to be on the inside. But it, to me, it sounded like I screamed it, and it echoed off the top of the rafters. I said, "Fill me with the Spirit." And I heard it echo off the church, the top of the building, you know, like if we were here, it just echoed off the rafters. And I thought, oh, Lord, and I was kind of embarrassed in a sense. But later on, I found out I didn't actually scream out loud, though I heard myself scream out loud. I thought I did. I heard it with everything in me. But apparently it was within my spirit man. It was my spirit that was crying out. The spirit of man is alive to God. That's where we communicate to him with. And I guess what I was told, and I understand by the person, my oldest brother, he's sitting next to me, he said, "Oh no, you didn't scream out. You just mumbled something." I said, "Really?" And I got to thinking about it. Of course, I had asked the pastor, and he didn't know what happened to me. But then later on, I did get a few words in the spirit as I prayed. I still didn't understand that it was really tongues. I thought it might be, but I wasn't sure. Hallelujah. But as I went along, God helped me. God led me into that. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we can become, you know, the Bible says we don't start out being mature sons, do we? We start out as a seed form, our spirit, but we begin to grow. And as we grow with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, well, you've been saved 50 years and now you're mature. You may not be mature at all because you didn't do anything to help strengthen or mature your spiritual part of you. You didn't really get the Word of God in you. You didn't pray in tongues. You didn't really worship God on your own much. You know, I'm not saying that you didn't grow at all, but maybe it's very little. You know, maybe you went to church and you found some things, but God's going to do all he can. But as we yield to that spirit on the inside of us, as we say, hey, on the inside of us, verse 15, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy God. Amen. We're saying, oh, you are the Father of my spirit. And I don't know about you, but see, I begin to get hungry. I wanted to know God. And I would spend time. And when I got into my first year of college, I would go down to the chapel. The chapel was usually pretty empty, not many people praying around there. Once in a while, someone might come in, but It was empty, and it was, at that time, it was open 24 hours a day. Today, they do lock it at night, I believe, but it used to be open 24/7. And I would go down there sometimes early in the morning, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, different times when I could, and just begin to talk to the Lord. And I would talk to the Holy Spirit sometimes, even though I didn't pray in tongues yet. But then I would worship Him, and I would sense such a desire. I wanted to so communicate with Him. I wanted to contact God. I wanted to let Him know how much I loved Him. I really did love Him, and I felt like my words were just not enough. But then I received, when I received those, that wonderful language to Him, it began to be so, oh, my heart began to swell, and I sensed that connection with God, and I began to pray in other tongues, and that connection with God became real. And if you're listening today, you said, well, I don't pray in tongues yet, or someone's hearing this. You don't. You can. You just need to simply ask God for that to fill you with the Spirit, and that you want to pray in tongues, and He will give you that super heavenly language that helps us so much. Hallelujah. It says, for the Spirit, verse 16, the Holy Spirit Himself, hallelujah, bears witness with our spirit. This is really the first time in this chapter that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. How many are thankful that you're an heir with God? You've been born again. You become His son. You've been changed on the inside. Your spirit can now be trusted to be, you know, your conscience can be trusted to be a good guide. You know right from wrong. You can hear His voice. You can recognize when He's speaking to you. You see, I don't hear my flesh's voice hardly ever in an audible way, do I? Do you? No, you just kind of know down on the inside, oh, I'm hungry. Well, how do you know you're hungry? Well, my hunger stat went off. You know, you know you're hungry. And you sense it on the inside. And you realize, oh, I need to eat something. And it's something that becomes a part of you. And when we walk with God, many times, God is speaking to our heart. We know some things. You know, I remember, you know, there are times. Yeah, maybe there's something I wanted to do, but I sensed on the inside I need to spend some time with God. I really need to pray, and that's what I'm going to do. And I make a decision. You know, I'm not going to the movie tonight. I'm going to prayer. I'm going to spend that time in prayer, or whatever it may be on the inside of you. You know, maybe it was going to somewhere important, but you sense on the inside of you, I need time with God. And you love on Him and spend that time with Him and let the Holy Spirit guide us and help us. And help us understand the heirship that we have with God. We are not just heirs. We're not co-heirs. But we're joint heirs. In other words, everything that Jesus receives, we receive. All that He purchased at the cross, we can have. Healing in our body. Finances in our pocketbook. We can have enough to fulfill our call. Amen. We can have more than enough to fulfill what God's called you to do. The purpose that He created you for. And you can have some money left over to help somebody else fulfill theirs. Hallelujah. That's true prosperity. See, walking with God, letting our spirit guide us, getting in touch with that part of us, letting it dominate us. Oh, dear Lord. God says, here is a journey you have to take. Here's a map. You get to have your own personal guide on the inside. Amen. The personal guide is the Holy Spirit, and you are, are the one. You are there. You don't know if you're necessarily where you're going, north or south or east or west, but you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Say, I can help you. He's like our GPS down on the inside, amen? We can begin to listen to Him. We say, oh, Holy Spirit, I need your help. He'll get you out of a mess. He'll help you. You know, we don't really need to panic. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I brought this problem on myself. So what? The Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to take hold together with you to get you out. Now, granted, sometimes there are consequences to our problems. You know, if you get, you know, if a young lady gets pregnant by someone, you know, before they're married and so forth, there's consequences. There's going to be a baby involved. There's going to be decisions that have to be made. Amen. You know, there's some consequences. And so, but he can help us, and he can help us to overcome, and he forgives, and he makes things right. And the Holy Spirit will help you to make things right, to get things in order, to overcome any stronghold of this flesh, and to allow this flesh to continue what? To be placed in that standstill position of death, where it's not moved, it's mortified. It's done. It is stuck. It cannot be changed, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And when we allow the greater one who's in us to guide us, we don't have to be afraid we're going to do the wrong thing. If we're truly led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to do the right thing. And we don't rely on what? Our own effort. But we rely on the greater one that's in us. God made the way for us to be free from that law of sin and death. At the cross, our old man was crucified with Christ. Amen. And we are free to walk in the newness of life. Glory to God forever. Let's continue to work on locating our human spirit, developing it, training our spirit, educating it, praying in the Spirit, meditating the Word of God, putting the Word of God in, understanding that we're alive to God. He is our Father. We're no longer orphans. He didn't leave us alone, but He gave us a helper, the Holy Spirit Himself, to indwell us, to guide us, to lead us. Hallelujah. Our spirit's very important, and it's important that we understand that we can be led by our spirit and not by our mind and our emotions, and not by our at least not by our fleshly mind and emotions. Our minds can be renewed by the Word of God, and we can see the truth, and we can walk in that truth, and we can discover and find our purpose in this life, and we can fulfill it. Amen. Hallelujah. We can walk with Him in that newness of life. But it is important. We need to realize, hey, I'm freed. I'm free. I'm free to walk with God. I'm free to walk in life. I'm free to walk in holiness. Amen. How many believe that today? You're free from sin. I don't have to walk that way, but I can walk in righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, I'm preaching myself happy today. I am happy. I'm excited about it. Glory to God. I apologize. I'm gonna drink a little water here. But that's our exhortation right now for today. I'm just going to stop there. Maybe next week we'll look a little bit more at some things. But because there is a suffering involved. How many know that? Sometimes there's a suffering in the flesh. It's not a suffering in our spirit, or it's not a suffering in the sense that it's going to be bad for us. But sometimes our fleshliness, our own body, our own desires, we don't always want to do those things, but the Holy Spirit will help us. He'll strengthen us in our spirit so that we can overcome every fleshly desire. Amen. And we can put it to death, and we can walk with Him. So, hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for the truth of it. We thank You for Your blessing upon Your Word, Father, that we'll take heed to it, Lord, and we'll remember who we really are. Heirs, joint heirs with You, sons of the Father, inheritors, Lord. Those that have been truly born again, we pass from death unto life, and we no longer have to walk in that death nature. We've been set free. We have the choice to walk in righteousness and to walk with God in the power of His resurrection, Lord. We thank You for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Let's just worship Him a little bit. Thank You, Father, that we're born again. Thank You, Father, that You changed me and set me free from sin. Thank You that I'm no longer the same. I've been changed by Jesus' mighty name and all that He did and all that that name represents. That I'm an inheritor with You, Lord. I have an inheritance of salvation. I have an inheritance of the newness of life. I have an inheritance, Lord God, that has set me free from sin. I've got an inheritance that has given me healing and health. I have an inheritance that God is now my Father. I have an inheritance from Him. Oh, glory to God. I can walk in blessing. I can walk in abundance. I can walk with my God. Oh, hallelujah. I have contact with Him. I can know Him. Oh, thank You, Father. I'm so grateful that I've been changed and born again. Oh, thank You for moving into me. Thank You for being my very own Father and creating within me, Lord, that I could be Your very own son. Oh, I'm so grateful, Father. Thank You for making Your home in me. Oh, I worship You. I magnify You. We give You glory for it in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen.